thank you everyone for today. This is the very last stop in our walking tour, so you've made it to the end. A big koala stamp for everyone. Importantly, we stopped here because it's the other end of the walking tour. So if you turn around, you can see the shrine on axis at the other end. So we thought it was a lovely bookend to end up with. The site we're on right now was the former Carlton United brewery and was shut in the early 80s and lost to Melbourne for a very long time. Funnily enough, ARM has run three architectural design competitions for this site. The first was for the owner who bought it from the CUB, which is the country of Nauru, when they were making a lot of money out of phosphate. They bought the site and had a plan for the biggest building in Melbourne. And so we won that as the first design competition. We then, RMIT, bought the entire site from the country of Nauru, and we're going to turn it into part of their campus and student accommodation and learning. And again, had another opportunity, and we're going to work for them. Finally, second last owner was Grocon, bought the entire site. And we won a design competition for the building just here, which is the Barak building. RMIT retained this corner of the site, and Sean Godsell's, what they call the Innovation Hub something, is the building 100. It was the first building that was on site, quickly followed by this one, which was Grocon's first move, which includes the malt store building on Swanson Street, 555 Swanson Street. That building is entirely facade. When it was first built, it was filled with 17 concrete tanks full of malting, so it, whilst looking like a three-storey building, it had no interior whatsoever. And those concrete tanks were fascinating. They were designed by John Monash, and 75 mil thick concrete tanks in there. If you do get to go in there, unfortunately, still haven't got the keys for that for today, I was hoping to, we've retained three of them in there. So as part of the new workplace that's in there, there's three of the original concrete tanks inside the brick building, just there. And at street level, that's the lobby to this building behind us. The building behind us is known as Barak Apartments. 530 apartments for Grocon. It's unashamedly a commercial development, but a very Daniel Grollo at the time knew that he had a civic responsibility being on access to Melbourne and, you know, this important relationship. And that was part of the commission, is to make sure that the buildings, whatever the use is, responded appropriately to its civic gesture. And it must be said, not many developers think like that. So I would congratulate him still on that aspiration. Its construction is just like the Green Brain for this black facade and the Barak facade, the white facade up there. So it's fiberglass, they're injection moulded, and they're completely CAD cut straight from our computer model through to the factory out there, which is absolutely fascinating. One of the beautiful things we like about it is that whilst you could see Barak absolutely clearly there, when you come up to it, you can't see it at all. It's gone. And that's probably quite a nice analogy for the story of Wurundjeri, really. Every time you try and understand, you know, where we are, it's quite, you know, the evocation's lost. William Barak was born mid-1820s. John Batman signed that notorious deal to buy the city, such that it was, in 1835. Anecdotally, he was there as a young tacker at that deed. So really interesting. He's known as the last Nurungaeta of Wurundjeri. So king, senior, elder, whatever the right translation of that is. Master of reconciliation. He was a policeman. He moved the Wurundjeri population from Melbourne out to Corranderk in Hillsville to try and keep them together. So a really fascinating character in his history, and quite rightly, the right emblem for someone to represent contemporary Aboriginality in Melbourne. However, we're a bunch of white guys. And so we didn't know whether this was the right thing to do. And this was a decade ago almost. And whilst we'd, you know, worked on reconciliation and architecture in projects as old as the National Museum of Australia in Canberra, trying to work out how you come up with a sort of a scenario to get permission and sort of deal with this idea of cultural appropriation. Trotted down to Wurundjeri, who were and are still in Abbotsford, and met Auntie Doreen Galvin, a direct descendant of Barak. And she encouraged us all along the way. And what started as a very small consultation with Auntie Doreen, within about 30 minutes, the phone was running hot and there were 30 people in the room, and the conversation whipped up into something quite exciting and ended up in this building that we see here. The other little hint, secret, is those little discs in there, the silver ones, which are obviously in direct conversation to Sean Godsall's building through there. However, they have a little meeting. They're in Braille, so you can't feel it, you can't read it. But they say Wurundjeri, I am who I am, in there. So that's what those little dots actually have hidden in them.
The use of William Barak's face and the transference is contentious. It still is contentious within Indigenous commentary. On the one hand, we've got noted architectural Indigenous historians who say it is just the most, it's a prime gesture towards the acknowledgement of Wurundjeri occupation and custodianship. And there are others within the profession who say it's an outrage.
Or say it's appropriation.
It's appropriation. And since that time, we've developed even more in-office techniques of dealing with placemaking that relate to the narrative of Indigenous, of the Kulin.